Good evening, everyone. I'm going to start out in prayer and invite the Lord to have his way today in this service. I don't know what's going on, but I came in a little tired and now I'm giddy. So I don't know what's so I don't know where we're going, but I'm having fun already. So Lord, we just Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We just invite you into this time, this service. And Lord, you have a plan. You know what you want to do today. And Lord, that I would just follow your leading and what you want to do and what you want to do for your people. And I just thank you, Lord. We just commit this service into your hands, Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' name, we put the blood of Jesus over this service and we destroy every plan of the devil. In Jesus' name. Okay. I put this in my message because I thought there might be some people that don't know me here. But I am Barbara Alsop. I'm a member of Lighthouse Church and president of Dover Glow International. I was asked by Pastor Barbara to speak on the topic of human trafficking. It's really a hot topic right now. In fact, when I was getting this message together, Pastor Barbara, I thought of when you said to me, this is really on God's heart. And soon after that, things just started exploding. Just exploding in the news, exploding in the coalition meeting that I'm attending, and there's been an acceleration. So I just wanted to tell you that. Human trafficking is a focus of a Glow International. And because of that, I became more informed and involved in wanting to know more about it. And if you've been following my emails, in January is Human Trafficking Month. And we had our coordinator, a Glow coordinator for human trafficking, Ed Thomas. And he gave us a great foundation for human trafficking. And then we had some unforeseen circumstances, and we had a speaker, but that got changed, and actually it was a God change. Because of that happening, the Lord told me, I want you to go local about human trafficking. And it was only the hand of God that got me connected with the lady, Yolanda, who's of Zoe Ministries, who spearheaded and brought awareness in Delaware of human trafficking. So, and I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'll discuss that down further in my talk. But anyway, it became so important to our organization that we have a coordinator, Ed Thomas, who is a great resource to us on this topic. That's all he does is check out what's going on nationally, regionally, nationally, and internationally with human trafficking. Human trafficking is coming more to the forefront these days and being exposed for what it really is. When you entered the church, you were given a resource packet. There might be, if you've been to some of the other human trafficking meetings, there might be some duplicates, but then there's some other new ones there that you can take home and be more versed on this topic to inform others. The packet contains definitions of human trafficking, examples of human trafficking activity in our area and state, and suggestions for your involvement to eliminate this activity to set not only the victims free, but their traffickers. Jesus came for them to be saved and healed as well. Please put the packet aside for now, and we will go through it towards the end of my presentation. Human trafficking is the second highest money-making criminal enterprise in the world. There are high profits to be made, and a risk of being caught are low. But there's a change coming. And I don't know if you saw in the news, Backpage.com, when we talked about this in January and February, Backpage.com was the place where most traffickers got connected to their victims. And so now, through your prayers and your involvement and the coalitions and meetings throughout, those founders of Backpage are now being prosecuted. So it's starting to crumble. Human trafficking is a form of modern-day slavery. There are two types of trafficking, sex trafficking and labor trafficking. Sex trafficking is a commercial sex act induced by force, fraud, or coercion, or the person performing the acts is not yet 18 years of age. Labor trafficking, and if you are down in the beach area, I suspect there's some there because you got people from other countries there, just out of the blue speaking all these languages. Labor trafficking is recruiting or obtaining a person for labor or services through the use of force, fraud, or coercion for the purpose of involuntary servitude or slavery. Now, when they do by force, it includes rape, beatings, shooting, starvation, restraint, and with fraud, it's false and deceptive offers of employment, marriage, or a better life. And I want to just inject in there, because of the coalition, which is really accelerating in networking and getting very unified, we now have a representative from our legislator that is sending out, asking us to come down and speak on bills that she's trying to do on behalf of the under 18 years of age. And when I went down there to speak to the elimination of underage marriage, I just let them know, you know, this is an open door for human trafficking because the victim is a minor, could marry a non-minor and be in that situation for who knows how long. So when I reread this, because I hasn't read it for a little while, I go, oh, so we're all working together. You know, we're trying to get all angles on this human trafficking, whatever which way it's coming in. Coercion is threats of serious harm to the victim, their family, or another person. Victims are children, adolescents, and adults, both male and female. They can come from all socioeconomic groups, both wealthy and poor families. In the U.S., the victims are more often U.S. citizens than people from other countries. So why is this happening? And why in our area and our state? It's happening because this is big money, honey, and you're grossing in billions of dollars each year. So they're going to find some way. It's happening in our area and state because of our access to large metropolitan areas, major airports, well-traveled interstate highways, existence of tourist and recreational attractions and casinos. Greater use of the internet and social media, abundant farming areas needing workers. And I think about our Spanish community we're connecting with. You know, they are migrating here, might not have a job. They could be open, you know, to being victimized in this area just because they need money to live. The lack of public awareness and education about human trafficking. Every 30 seconds, I couldn't believe this, another person becomes a victim of human trafficking. Sex trafficking takes place in brothels, escort services, fake massage businesses. And I totally heard this from someone that I don't usually, you know, communicate about these things. And they were telling somebody else that there are businesses set up for the purpose of enticing people to come in for human trafficking. It sets up as a business storefront, but it's not. It's not what it is. Strip clubs, street prostitution, internet ads, hotels and motels. Now, somebody just said to me, there's a particular motel that is being frequent for this. So anyway, we are attacking this all at all different angles in the coalition that I go to. Labor trafficking takes place in domestic work, small businesses, large farms, factories, restaurant, and food services. Now, some trafficking indicators, and this is one of your papers that's on your in your booklet, but we're not going to look at it right now. We're going to discuss it, and then I'm going to go briefly over it, and then we'll have a Q&A and ministry. Trafficking indicators. Now, some are pretty obvious, but we have to think of all angles. Is the victim in possession of identification travel documents? If not, who has control of those documents? Was the victim coached on what to say to law enforcement and immigration officials? We walk in the spirit, we can sense it. And this is just something that will confirm that when you're around those people. Was a victim recruited for one purpose and forced to engage in some other job? Was the victim forced to perform sexual acts? Does the victim have freedom of movement? Has the victim or family been threatened with harm if the victim attempts to escape? Has the victim been threatened with deportation or law enforcement action? Has the victim been harmed or deprived of food, water, sleep, medical care, or other life necessities? Can the victim freely contact friends or family? Is the victim engaged in a juvenile engaged in commercial sex? And is the victim allowed to socialize or attend religious services? Now, there's a number that you'll see frequently on the cards that a GLOW has been printing out. You can put those, if you want some more and you feel to ask, as we're talking, just ask the Lord what your part in this is. You could pray. You can give these little cards out, which I just asked our coordinator to send me some more. You put these cards in the bathrooms. You put them in these, and the victims can call these this hotline. And I'll show you a poster that we have with a hotline, and it's in Spanish too, Spanish and Mandarin. And we're going to, this just came out in our coalition meeting yesterday. So, but we also have, if you're reporting suspicious, even if you're suspicious, call this number. Okay, there's juvenile trafficking risk factors. Now, I'm not going to read all of them. This is in your packet, but I just want to highlight homelessness. There's some open doors that people find themselves. They listen to these people and who trick them in any way they can get them because they're about using them for money. They don't care about their body. They don't care about anything but money. They want to make that $1 billion or whatever. So they're going to find people that maybe aren't connected. Homelessness, runaways, maybe doesn't have a great support system. Truancy, curfew violations, has a high number of intimate partners, multiple terminated pregnancies, you know, different substance abuse, exhaustion, malnutrition, history of abuse and neglect, controlling their boyfriend or girlfriend, resides with a non-relative. All kinds of different things are an indicator that also, too, visiting commercial sex websites, using commercial lingo. Now, some labor trafficking red flags are recruited with false promises of work conditions. And this could be people that have immigrated here and they're being told one thing, but it's not that at all. And before you know it, they're working long hours and things like that. Long hours with few or no breaks, inconsistent or little pay, deduction from pay for housing. These people wish them the moon, give them, they say, you can have this, you can have that. And then it's totally opposite. They use them to get the money. Now that's for labor, but it's the same theme. They use them for money and they'll lie, whatever. Unexplained injuries, anxiety to maintain a job, to pay debt. Yeah, these, just reading up on this a little bit, these traffickers will put a debt on these people. And then they're saying, well, I got to pay you back. And, you know, so they're working hard. And it seems like they never get paid back because, you know, they don't want those people leaving. Yolanda, and I hope I'm not mispronouncing her name, Shalabach of Zoe Ministries is who I found out that was as spearheaded in Delaware the awareness of human trafficking. And in fact, Ed Thomas, our GLOW coordinator, and I, we met with her last week. And it was awesome. It was another networking opportunity. Increased networking, acceleration in networking. I mean, this group that we're just looking at all kinds of ways to hit the angle on this trafficking. Well, Ed had some information because Yolanda has a vision for this in Delaware. And I said, well, where is your vision on this? And she said, well, we're at awareness and things like that. But what my next step is, I want the judges and the attorneys to be trained in this, to know how to prosecute these traffickers and not affect the victims, you know, because the victims are hurting already. And also, too, yesterday, today's Wednesday, yeah, it was yesterday, I was at the coalition meeting. And now what they're doing, they're taking on awareness isn't just people going out and speaking. They're going into the police stations and they're trained. That is part of their curriculum. In fact, I wanted to make sure, and I looked up the information because they're always sending me information. The medical social workers and that type of field are now can go online and get CE credits for their license. And it's, I think it's free. It's called SOAR Online. So what I'm seeing here is the awareness is going out. We're not just talking about it. We're training you because you're going to, you know, whatever field you're in, you're going to come across these different people. So she has spearheaded the awareness of human trafficking in Delaware and Delmarva since 2012. Now, isn't this interesting? I think a GLOW was around that time, 2012 to 2014, that God put on a GLOW that the human trafficking was going to be their focus. And then we have some mandates, but human trafficking is a focus of a GLOW. And I don't know exactly how they do it or what's done, but human trafficking is worldwide. And it's in other countries, it's in other states, it might manifest in a different way. But the bottom line is, once you are aware, once you know the indicators of a victim and get to know the community, then you'll start seeing what's going on. You could have these cards and see a victim, give them the card, have them call, you know. But these cards are anonymous. You know, they don't even have to tell you they're calling or whatever. What we want is that the victims come to a safe place, and that I know that, I think Pastor Barbara, you said the lady comes here, she's up in Pennsylvania, They have a home for human trafficking victims where they don't let anybody know where that home is, just for the safety of these victims. So this has to be held delicately, you know. So anyway, the awareness of human trafficking in Delaware and Delmarva since 2012, she was pushing for that awareness with a concern that Delaware would become a safe haven for traffickers. Delaware did not pass. Now get this. Delaware did not pass legislation against sex trafficking until 2014, and it was already a federal crime in 2000. So, but Delaware's getting on the ball, because if you look in the paper, look online, there's more and more people that are being charged and prosecuted with this. And it's all over the news, and it's also on these talk shows. Yolanda states Delaware is a hotbed for traffickers, with the I-95 corridor running through the major cities in Delaware. She states Delaware needs long-term care for survivors. And when we had our lunch meeting, she said, that's why I'm connected with a Salvation Army. That's why we're having our meetings there, because they have funding. We're trying to coordinate. Her goal is to have a place for the victims. And so as far as I know of this writing, there isn't any. And just another note, if you're interested in transitional housing, going to these meetings, I'm telling you, there is nothing in Delaware for the, you know, prisoners coming out. They go back in because there's no help. Drug addicts, you know, whatever somebody is caught up in, it's not there. We don't have it. And if anything, I'd like to see in this coalition, because we're branching out, we're starting to get into the state government and with some of the legislators, and I'd like to put a little thing in their ear about some transitional housing, not just for the human traffickers, but for those that are trying, that really want to be free. She says that Delaware is one of 28 states with no residential programs to help survivors. Because of this, victims return to the trafficker for what they can offer them. Something more attractive needs to be offered to a victim rather than what the trafficker offers. Many victims come from dysfunctional families. Predators scout the social media sites looking for their victims. So you say, well, what can we do? Well, I have included in the packet some suggestions, which we'll look at in a minute. I also want to mention there is a Delaware Coalition Against Trafficking that meets monthly on the last Tuesday of every month. You are all invited. The input and the dialogue is accelerating. I missed it last month, and I know that I missed something, because they're moving. They're determined. They're getting more unified. They at the meeting this time, there were former policemen. The Dover police station was there. Victim services were there. Other ministries. And also, too, they're going to be having a human trafficking symposium in Deltek, Wilmington, in August, and I'll put that on my, if you're on my GLOW email. But there are several people who come to these meetings with various backgrounds. Now, there was there's a retired policeman that goes to a church in Wilmington, and he said that his church wants to pilot foster care for human trafficking victims. So I don't know if they're going to set up a training for that, or what's happening with that. And in fact, I have to get you a copy of this. I didn't get a chance yet. It's like 30 pages. If you, and I want to get the leaders of our church that too. It's like 30 pages. It's a PowerPoint, and he goes into detail. If you're going to have a transitional housing, or you're going to give some care to these victims, these are some of the things that you need. You know, so there's a whole long, there was a guy from Ohio that was on the Zoom meeting, and he founded a home in Ohio for victims of human trafficking. And he had a lot of good pointers, and he had a lot of good reports, government reports. So there are several people who come to these meetings monthly, such as law enforcement, medical field, to set up a more collaborative effort to not only eliminate human trafficking, but to restore the victims and prosecute the traffickers. And like I said, anyone is welcome. And I think I missed something here. Okay. Well, I just want to reiterate here, too, human trafficking is happening in our area. And in your packet, I do have an example of something, someone that got prosecuted from Smyrna, where I live. Yikes. So, but it's in this area, Smyrna and Dover. There's a lot of it's happening. I have included an example of that, and there are many more happening monthly. And you could just Google human trafficking in Delaware, and you can get the different cases that have happened. Now, I want to update you from the meetings. Like I mentioned before, there's an online training. There's also something that a university is having. Now, I don't know if it's a class. I have to look it back up again. There's several modules, and it goes into about trauma care and things like that. If I have a sign-up sheet in the back. If you want any of this information from the meetings sent to you by email, and you can go online and you could take this training and be averse. This is, I believe it's a college that's having this more in depth. The other one is more for medical people with trauma. And I mentioned the training for the police and the legislators involved. And every time I go to these meetings, there's a greater networking that's going on. And there's a lot of brainstorming of how else can we be effective. We're going to go back at the packet and just for your review so you know what's there. And you can open up your packet. And on the front of it is the card. And like I said, if you want any more cards, just there's my contact information, and I can send you some of these cards that you can put out. That would be fantastic if you feel that's what God wants you to do, is put these cards out. Put them in bathrooms, put them in places where people can either take the card or jot down the number very quickly. Also in your packet is your juvenile trafficking risk factors, which I briefly went over. And and also, too, I have some things that AGLO has been doing in this area. You could also go on our website, aglo.org. We have monthly newsletters on human trafficking that come out. And this one here says, right in your backyard. And it just talks about, you know, I mentioned some of the things that were mentioned there and what can you do. It's pretty easy to follow along and get an idea. The cheat sheet on human trafficking, it goes into a little more detail in describing the different purposes and things that I just briefly went over. And it also says it's what it is not. It is not smuggling or forced movement. It is not border crossing. These traffickers are out for getting these people for money or purposes. Also, too, in January of this year, there was a Delaware man convicted of sex trafficking charge. And I have some other ones too, but I just wanted to give you a sampling. AGLOW also has anti-human trafficking call to prayer, and you can read about that and gives you some pointers on prayer with human trafficking. We also have an anti-human trafficking prayer guide, and it goes through and tells you what you can pray for in your community, and also how to get involved and volunteer. And on the second page, it's actually $150 billion is made worldwide. So it's even a lot more than I thought. And you can pray these different prayer points for traffic victims, rehabilitation, the pimps and traffickers, and so forth, and the legislation. And then we have one that says take action. And you can support an anti-trafficking organization, which we are meeting up in Wilmington. There might be some in the future that are spread throughout the state, and gives you some prayer points, gives you some action steps, gives you some prayer points. And then on the second page, you can do prayer meeting, prayer walking, prayer driving, just some things to get you thinking about this, because these people are in bondage and they are afraid of their lives because this is big money for these traffickers. And I think one thing would be is to pray that when they are getting help, you know, that it's done delicately and in a way that their life is not on the line, and maybe, you know, those that are trying to help. And the last one I have is AGLOW has, and we are in the Mid-Atlantic region, so our region set out these different things that you can do, which kind of overlap with what I also, too, if anyone is interested, I have AGLOW put out a DVD on human trafficking, and we also have a little flyer on it too. So if anyone is interested in seeing that, you know, I can always, you know, have a group and meet somewhere if you want to see that. It's very informative. And also too, on the second page is taking action. And actually, when I was at the first AGLOW conference in November 2016, there were some AGLOW members that went to a strip club, and they were praying with the people there. And I don't know if they were involved in human trafficking as well, the victims there, but they went and whatever the Lord prayed with them, or they gave them food, or but eventually they set up a friendship with them. And those victims started to step away from where they were. Now, that was something they felt the Lord was telling them to do. And so they went in and did that and were able to rescue some people. So I thought that was quite interesting. Like I said, there's networking. There's one thing that... two that they mention in a coalition is because there are some Christians on the coalition, and they brought up the fact that, you know, we can do all these natural things, and we are a person, we have the full gospel, we have the deliverance, we have everything for these people. And so, yeah, it's great that we're having housing, we're having this, but they also need deliverance. They also need prayer. They also need support. I think I just happened to turn on the talk show, Megyn Kelly, and this girl is only doing well because her church, one of the leaders, is heading up the church, the church's transitional housing for victims. And so she's in close contact. She goes to church and she stays at the transitional home, and she's doing wonderful. So whatever way we can do that, and you feel God is speaking to you about that, you know, we could talk about that. In fact, after the Q&A, we're going to have ministry, and Lord was speaking to me during the worship time of what he wants you to come for prayer for. So, but I'm going to open it up now for any questions. And if I can, if I don't have the answer, because I'm only started getting versed in this since January, but I got a real good, got a good head start because I got in touch with a lot of people that know more than I do. So.